Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrax, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. You've got to be a special individual. After August, you're heading up north. You are going waterfowl hunting. And, of course, if you got that bad a case of hunting, the next thing you're going to do is go ahead and start your own call company. Log on to PacificCustomCalls.com. That is the website of our next guest, Trevor Austin, first-time guest on The Outdoor Line. Good morning, Trevor. How are you, my friend?
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, man.
Wishing we were in a blind this morning, but other than that, we're doing
which I imagine you probably are setting up right now in some cornfield or something like that, right?
I'm in, it looks like a winter wheat field, but I just pulling out, got all the guys all set up, going to go park the truck and to
the left. Uh-oh.
Yep, we got some cell phone goofiness going on here. You got us there, buddy?
Oh, there we are. Yep. You guys hear me?
Yes.
So you've had Pacific Calls. You started Pacific Calls in 2011. Joe mentioned earlier in the show. What was the genesis of that, man? What got you pointed in that direction? I mean, were you using some calls you didn't really like, or did you see an opportunity there? What got you going in that direction, buddy?
Probably not going to work.
We got a really tough connection. We might need to call Trevor back here.
Hold on.
It's the dreaded goose guide curse.
So you mentioned he's been working with Austin Sandman over at Honk Stopper. So
he guides every day of the when goose is open over there.
Soap Lake, neck of the woods. Moses.
Yep. Grant County. Yeah, gotcha. Grant County.
Yeah. So and of course we drove through all that, and you know, on our way up to Rufus, and it just, there was ducks on virtually every body water, and then there's a flock of geese, and there's a flock of geese, and there's a flock of geese. So basically, him and Austin Sandman, I mean, they do a lot of scouting to see which fields that these critters are working.
Oh, yeah. That's always, is he back?
Oh, Matt just texted us back, so.
Oh, there he is.
You guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Sounds good.
You're down by the hay bales. He drove down by the hay bales there. Okay, we got you now?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess we got you. All right, so you traveled. Listen, on a normal year, you'd follow the waterfowl from way up north down through Washington. Do you head south of Washington too, down into Oregon and beyond, or what's your flight path every time, buddy?
Oh, I mean, it usually ends in Washington for the guide life, right? But I'll travel down to Oregon, Idaho. We'll head to Texas. I'm heading to Texas on Monday. So I'll travel around, go see the guys. And we do a lot of filming, too, throughout the country. So just we try to travel as far as we can and go see everyone.
Now, being in this position, you got a chance to use the Maxxis 2, the new Browning shotgun here this fall. What was your opinion of the Maxxis? And has it worked well for you the whole season, buddy? Because I don't know of anybody that could probably shoot a shotgun quite as much as you can and really put it to the test. What's your opinion, man?
Yeah, I put my shotgun to the test, that's for sure. I got an award from a couple gunsmiths saying I have the dirtiest gun alive. But the Maxxis 2, man, it's been a killer gun. I've never had a gas gun, but I've never been so impressed with a gun either. The quick load, the grip on it, everything just comes up so smooth. And, man, my shooting, I can tell you that I'm a streaky shot sometimes. And this year with that gun, I've been on it. So it's been a fun one to shoot. I'm very thankful for, you know, Brownies throwing one my way.
And yeah, and you mentioned
how long
filming.
Have you guys?
Go ahead.
Yeah, how long have you guys been filming the Slade Northwest? I went on the other day, and I don't know how many there are on your YouTube page, but it's a lot. How long have you guys been doing that?
Oh, I think we teamed up with the Slade Boys about 6 years ago or so, and they just became good friends, and we kind of just brought it in under Pacific Calls. And so Pacific Calls is Slade Northwest. We go out and do a lot of filming. Haunt Stomper Guide Service, obviously, is our main group that we go and for the east side and shoot, you know, with Austin and with the boys here. And so we've been doing it for about 6 years, I'd say. I think Slade started, though, about 10 years ago, way back when they were in college.
Yeah, so now let's talk about Canada a little bit. Folks that aren't familiar with going across the border and hunting up north, of course, you can't do it right now, but eventually we'll get back to that again with any luck here. What area do you travel to up there? You know, where do you start, and what's your migration path down through Canada, man?
Man, we'll go about 18 hours north. We hit an area called Peace River. Beautiful country up there. You got deep, dark bush. That's what they call their forest. And you have bears, moose. I mean, you got huge deer, and then you've got abundance of waterfowl. It's a gorgeous area. And then I make my way east of, like, Edmonton area, and that's where I start targeting a lot of my snow geese and the specks, getting a little more duck action. And then that's kind of where I start heading south and head back down to the States.
Now, can someone go up there and just get permission to hunt on property, or do you have to have guides lined up? I mean, what's it look like up there? I mean, there can't be that many folks up there hunting waterfowl, buddy.
No, there, you know, you do have a lot of freelance groups that go up there. There is a lot of outfitters. It is, I would say it's easier to go up there and get a little bit of, you know, a little more permission. I will say it's getting a little bit harder. You know, there's more outfitters, you know, year in, year out. But, you know, after this, I don't know what's going to happen with all the outfitters. But you got to have the drive, and you got to have the money for the gas. And that's kind of what it takes to be successful up there. You can't really just get to one spot, like if you were going to go to Moses Lake and just hang out there. So, you know, you get up there and you put it to the test. And it's hard, but, you know, it can be easy too.
We were talking last night, and you were saying, like, you've actually had bears walk through your spread while you're up there.
Yeah.
And then I think we also kind of talked about the fact that you could hit it and it could be amazing, and the next day those birds, because of weather, are gone.
Yeah. I'm a full believer in our birds are weather driven. I don't really think that man will push a bird south to make it migrate. I think it'll push them out, but yeah, I mean, up there you have the weather, the bears. Yeah, my dad and I, we were shooting a wheat field, and this freaking old, this big old black bear came out, and we were snooping out the barley fields. And I mean, it was like 250 yards away. I'm like, I hope you got enough ammo, Dad. But yeah, no, I mean, when you get up there, the weather changed. You know, it can hit overnight. It can go from 75 degrees to 20 degrees at night and start snowing, and then those birds feel it, and they get up and go. So it can be a hit or miss kind of a deal. So you try to find your weather patterns and try to find, you know, I've got buddies up there now after doing it for so many years and seeing how the farming practice is going and, you know, when the crop's being cut and how the weather is doing. So there's a lot to see.
We're talking with Trevor Austin this morning of PacificCustomCalls.com. And it says on your website that 2011 marked your first year. So give us your reflection on 10 years in the waterfowl call industry, Trevor Austin.
Yeah, I can't even believe it's been 10 years. My business partner and I, we started in, I had a buddy that we started in a little shack, a little 10x10 shack, and then we grabbed one of our other buddies, and that turned into, you know, a three pair. And then eventually at the end of the day, it came down to just Alex and I, and Alex and I have been running it for 10 years now. And yesterday we actually just closed on our first piece of dirt, about an acre lot, over in Post Falls. We're going to build our dream shop. So it's blown up to a point that I never thought it would get to. And I'm just, you know, very excited, and family and friends that have helped us is a big thing. So,
well, I congratulate you, because, you know, for somebody to follow their passion like this and make it, you know, not just their avocation, but their vocation. I mean, you're to be commended, man. If you go to work and do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And that's the path you're following, Trevor. I'm happy for you, my friend. And I look forward to sharing a blind with you one of these days. I appreciate you jumping in with us and keep in touch, man.
All right, go get him, Trevor.
You're more than welcome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate everything. Have a good day.
All right,
thanks, buddy.
Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
WDFW just announced that Marine Area 10 in Puget Sound will close down to salmon fishing on January 19th to preserve some of the impacts for later in the season. Anglers have reached nearly half the allowed impacts on wild Chinook in Marine Area 10, so far catching 282 of the 579 allowed for that area. State plans to reopen the fishery again later in the season when the fish are a little bigger and the weather is better too.
Head to Rufus Woods for football-sized triploids. Guide Austin Mosier from Austin's Northwest Adventures says a rainbow fishing is still red hot on Rufus Woods Reservoir in eastern Washington. This week, his guide's caught multiple tasty triploid trout over 10 pounds, with the two biggest bombing the scales down to Joey Pyburn's 16, and then very rudely, he showed us a picture of a 17, mm-hmm. which knocked Joey off the perch. Austin's been using a combination of bait lure to catch the big triploids on Rufus Woods. The Berkeley War Pig crankbait and the Berkeley Fusion jigs have been the top lures, and white power bait tipped with a crawler catches fish when that lure bite slows down. The trout limit on Rufus Woods is 2 per day, and any trout caught on bait has to be retained.
Kevin John at Holiday Sports in Burlington says there's no shortage of water in Skagit Valley now. That's both good and bad for bird hunters. He says there's a ton of ducks in the valley right now, but there's so much water, they're really spread out. Kevin says the game island near Conway is still hunting good, as well as some of the public fields near the Samish River. The snow geese have also moved back into the bow area, which has made for some decent shooting recently. There's also a 3-day brant hunt scheduled for today, Wednesday, and next Saturday in Skagit County. Clallam, Whatcom, and Pacific counties also have some brant hunting opportunities this month. Waterfowl season closes in Washington on January 31st, but there will be some opportunity for geese in February. February 6th is the youth and veteran hunt, and then the goose hunters get from February 13th to the 23rd to target snow geese in Goose Area 1 in Skagit and Snohomish counties. Be sure to check the WDFW website for details on late goose hunts around the state. Kevin says they also just got a big load of Browning safes into the shop this week, and the gun shop also received a shipment of steel shot this week.
Tickets are on sale now for Seattle Boat Show Connected. That'll run from January 28th through the 31st. State-of-the-art online show will include a three-dimensional show floor that will allow attendees to virtually walk the red carpet in the boat show and hit the many boating industry booths along the way. There'll be over 100 hours of boating and fishing seminars, and Boating University will be offered yet again at the show this year. The one benefit of the online show is that presenters from around the country and Mexico who might not otherwise be able to make the trip to Seattle can present. Attendees will be able to schedule in-person Zoom, FaceTime, or phone meetings for boat and product tours, as well as live chat with boating reps. Digital show will happen in tandem with satellite in-person special events hosted by dealers and exhibitors from around the region. Be sure to get your tickets for the Seattle Boat Show Connected at seattleboatshow.com.
Cat 5 atmospheric river drenches the Northwest. Record rains for January. If you're wondering why it's been so wet this week, it's because a Category 5 atmospheric river slammed into the Pacific Northwest, bringing heavy rains and winds with it. The atmospheric river started 2,700 miles away and carried a river of water vapor across the Pacific to the Pacific Northwest. Washington has already experienced the wettest winter on record with over 7 inches of rain this month. That record has stood since 1956. That's wet.
WDFW has been busy sampling razor clams on the Washington coast, and domoic acid levels are still above the limits that allow for digging. Testing will continue, but folks shouldn't expect razor clam season on the coast for at least another month, possibly more.
The Olympic Peninsula Guides Association held a rally in Forks, Washington on Thursday to support the reinstatement of fishing from boats on the rivers of the Olympic Peninsula. Guides Association President Bill Meyer said about 50 boats showed up for the rally in Forks on Thursday and said many more would have come had it been on a weekend. A petition is also circulating to get the boat fishing rule reversed on the Washington coastal rivers. That petition has gathered 3,600 signatures as of yesterday. It can be found on the website fishsteel.com. Emergency rules went into effect on December 14th that made fishing from a boat for winter steelhead illegal on all the Washington coastal rivers to protect depressed runs of winter steelhead out there.
Queets River to close early for steelhead. This week, Limerick National Park announced that the Queets will close the steelhead fishing on February 1st. The river will stay open long enough to give anglers an opportunity to catch hatchery steelhead headed for the Salmon River while protecting the later returning wild steelies. The Queets hasn't met its escapement goal for wild steelhead the past 4 years, and the forecast to run is hit to be well below escapement again this year.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
When's the last time you've been smelting in Coronet Bay?
I just was looking at that. Yeah, talking to Kevin, he said, yeah, there must be something going on, you know, smelt-wise around here, because the smelt jigs are flying out of the shop like crazy. Coronet Bay and also the boat basin in Oak Harbor. Just south of them there. They're catching quite a few smelt up there. So saltwater smelts are good, man.
Tasty
firm,
little buggers.
Great eating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people turn their nose up at those Columbia River smelt, but the Coronet Bay, dude, they're great eating.
When you look at a Columbia River smelt, they do not look appetizing, but the ones we have around here, they're clean and almost translucent. Yeah. And I used to do it when I was a kid all the time.
And we used to eat them, but all the time, just freaking steam them up or bake them, whatever. But, you know, deep fried too, you know, there's nothing matter with all of the above there. I tell you what, I wouldn't mind putting some up for bait, you know, spin a smelt. Why the heck not? What are they spinning down in San Diego? Rob Ensley, you talked to Carl Schmidt.
They're not spinning much yet, but they're getting ready. They're spinning a lot of wheel grinders in the boatyards right now, getting their boats all fixed up and ready to go for the coming season. Most of the boats are in the yard now. They pull them out usually December, January, and do all their maintenance. And then coming up here early February, that fleet's ready to rock and roll. There was some pretty good news. I talked to him yesterday, and he was like, I think these bluefin could be around again here. That fishery's just been going nuts down there the last few years. And really, for the longest time, there were no bluefin down there. And now all of a sudden, the bluefin showed up and they haven't left. They found something they like and they have not left. So we'll see. We'll talk to Carl just after the break here and see what he's got going on. Between yellowfin, bluefin, yellowtail, all the other stuff going on out of San Diego, there's a lot of fun stuff to do down there. And guess what? It was 85 degrees a couple days ago in San Diego. So, really?
Flights are like $150.
Yeah.
To go down.
I mean,
it's just, why the heck not, right? Log on to fishermanslanding.com. Carl Schmidt, long range outline and kind of short range. You don't have to go long range there out of San Diego. Coming up next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome back to the Wheelhouse, 710 ESPN, Seattle's The Outdoor Line. Go check out RenaissanceMarineGroup.com for your particular version of a Duckworth, Weldcraft, or Northwest boat. And, yes, the boat show is later this month, but I wouldn't wait. I would jump on it right now because people are snapping up boats. And I guess what folks aren't doing right now, Robbo, is grabbing a lot of flights, because I mentioned right before the break that flying round trip to San Diego is probably $150. No, I was wrong. $136, dude. Round trip to San Diego.
Round trip.
On Alaska Air, two Sabre flights there and back. It's insane. So if you wanted
how much is a one way ticket? I'm just asking.
That's
for
a fair
friend.
Question,
I mean,
dude.
If somebody just texted me to ask how much a one way ticket was. I mean, that's a fair question. You know,
I think your hip, I think that warm weather would be really good for all that metal in your hip.
Medicinal.
I agree. I was talking to Ali Husseini yesterday from Bloody Ducks. He's like, yeah, dude, it's like 83 degrees. He had just been doing some duck hunting. He drives an hour and a half to shoot ducks and drives home. And, you know, I mean, a lot of folks around here, especially with the military installations around here, I've been to San Diego. It's crowded. A lot of people there. But, man, the weather's spectacular. It's a cool place. Got the beaches and some great saltwater fishing, you know. And with this bluefin tuna thing going on the last few years, you could catch bluefin on a day charter. There's private boats.
Yeah, they're not running that far.
Bluefin. No. I mean, now the tuna right now are a long ways off. It doesn't sound like they're nearby. I talked to Ali yesterday and he said, yeah, it's been pretty slow. They're going to move in, though. I mean, they're not far off. And I was hoping to get Carl here. We're having a hard time getting Carl up on the horn here this morning, but But yeah, it'll go. The Mexican tuna fleet, the commercial fleet just caught their quota real quick, just down south across the border. So they're not far away. So when
you think about, you know, how we fish for tuna up here, we have to wait for kind of a warm water highway to bring those things, you know, up and closer to shore within the reach of the sport and charter fleets. Kind of the same thing going on down there, Robbo, in San Diego, where they're waiting for a different current to kind of bring them within reach of the San Diego fleet. So it's seasonal. Just because it's, you know, it's 80 degrees on the shore doesn't mean the water's right. This isn't a 365, you know, day a year fishery down in San Diego either. They definitely have a seasonal approach, but their season is a lot longer. And when you compare the table quality of albacore to bluefin, brother, it ain't a ball game. You know, and
no, it's apples and oranges there, buddy. Yeah, that's not even a comparison. They're hoping to get albacore in there this year, though. They've got cool water. And when I talked to Carl yesterday, he was hoping the albacore would push in. It's been a while since they've had good albacore fishing down there, but they had their fingers crossed that they would see some albacore. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
So is it a similar fishery to like what we're doing when we run out and fish for our albacore? Is it like live bait? Are they trolling? Are they trolling and then stopping and live bait? What are they doing?
Same deal. Yeah, exact deal. And it's the same, too, with the bluefin and the yellowfin. They'll troll and troll and troll and troll and troll until they find them, and then they'll stop and throw live bait at them, mostly sardines.
Sardines,
A little bit bigger,
yeah.
though. Not so much anchovies, mostly sardines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then the long-range stuff, I mean, well, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, obviously, yeah. A hell of a lot bigger gear when you're looking at a 200-pound bluefin. I mean,
so
I've caught bluefin.
80-pound stand-up gear?
Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I haven't really talked about
tackle.
What they're running, but I tell you what, man, 80-pound stand-up with a 200-pound bluefin, you got your hands full, brother. That's a bad deal right there. And that's – you're looking at you're basically looking at throwing a rod overboard at that point. And that's what they do. They clip in when they're getting close to getting spooled, they clip in another rod onto that one and they just chuck the whole rod overboard. And then they got basically two spools worth of line running around out there. And then they'll reel that rod up, unhook it, crank on it again. Oh yeah. And I've heard of guys throwing the same rod over 2-3 times as they get a fit, and then it'll burn off half a mile of line Yeah, pretty crazy, but super cool. I'm looking forward to once we get past this COVID stuff, you know, we got to get over this stuff. But once we get past this, I'm really looking forward to getting down there and going on one of these charters and doing some stuff out of San Diego. So,
yeah, no question about it. And you know, it's definitely the whole destination thing is, you know, we're looking for some guidance again. You know, we keep mentioning that there is a border opening task force, you know, in place right now. They are being really, really super quiet. But you know, as soon as we get some word for them, but still, we're thinking, you know, we should hear something within a month about, you know, hopefully about a March or early April opening to the border. And, you know, that's going to open up a lot of different opportunities. I can't wait to get up to Peregrine Lodge. I hope you can join us on our listener trip. That's June 13th through 16th, peregrinelodge.com. That thing's booking up pretty good. Every week I hear from Lisa Killick that a few more people have jumped on it. And of course, you know, in June, I mean, we expect things to be a full go right now. And right now, Robbo, as far as getting up to Alaska, there's no change in travel restrictions from what we saw last year that you can get up in there if you're a non-resident on the strength of a negative test.
Yeah, you've got to have a negative test within 72 hours of travel, a negative PCR test. And then you also have to quarantine for 5 days once you get there, which isn't too hard to do. But it's basically almost the same as what it was last summer. I'm really hoping that the vaccine catches up, you know, and starts flattening stuff out between now and May and June. We're also, as a family, we're hoping the Canadian border opens up sometime in April. We're looking at going up early this year. And we'd actually kind of like to take the drive up there, take the kids through Canada.
Oh, wow.
And make the drive up through there, show them the Skeena Valley and all that stuff, and take the ferry up from Rupert up to Ketchikan and just make that big adventure all the way up this year. So we'll kind of see how the Canadian border crossing thing works out, but we're really hopeful that maybe it opens up and we could take the kids on a big adventure up through Canada. So.
And so you'd be leaving a rig there in Ketchikan, right? And because you can't, is there a ferry to Craig?
No, there's ferries all the way. So you ferry from Prince Rupert to Ketchikan, and then you ferry from Ketchikan over to the island. That's how stuff gets to the island. I mean, they have daily trucks coming over, and that's how all the produce and everything gets over from Ketchikan over to the island. So
yeah.
Yep.
I guess I've never really thought about that before because, you know.
Well, you got to get out of your routine. I mean, everything's just Sitka. There's actually some other places in Southeast Alaska.
There is? No.
There's some cool places.
What? There's other. Alaska has other stuff than Sitka.
Oh no, it's only what Nelly's doing. Nope, that's it. There's actually some fun stuff up there. There's some cool little towns. I mean, Petersburg. Talk about the most beautiful place on earth, Petersburg,
yeah,
Alaska.
Petersburg and Wrangell. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some fishing up there too.
I started watching. I got home. I was wiped out from not shooting snow geese all day, and I just laid in bed and watched YouTube videos about Prince of Wales and bear hunting.
It's amazing.
Dude, I'm so excited.
Yeah. We're going to have a great hunt up there, man. It's going to be super fun. Been on the phone, Chris, with you and Mark Boardman from Vortex, and Nick called from Nevada the other day. He's all fired up. And we're going to be up there in May, right when it's just prime time for those big black bears to be out. And going to be spectacular. And just give you a little taste of Prince of Wales Island, too. It's an incredible place, man. I mean, it's just got such a diversity of habitat, you know, from north to south. We're going to be hunting in the wilderness there, of course, well into the wilderness. So you're going to see some pretty wild stuff up there. It's pretty raw country, pretty wild, rugged. And of course the bear hunting's incredible. Sitka blacktails and the saltwater fishing, that speaks for itself. We've got incredible saltwater fishing up there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that trip, man. And actually last time we were up there, we caught some steelhead too. So if we have some time at the end, we might bust out. I've got some steelhead rods in the garage there. We might bust those out and go catch a steelhead off a bridge. Have you ever done that? Caught a steelhead from 30 feet over the water? Yeah.
No.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do that too.
No doubt. This sounds like a gas.
So, lots to do, man. Lots to do.
All right. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way. Really? Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tin and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turned red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
It's the new year 2020 sell down at Roy Robinson Chevy. Here's your reason to switch. Check out the 2020 Chevy Silverado 2500 Crew Cab Diesel with a $3,750 cash allowance at Roy Robinson Chevrolet, RoyRobinsonChevy.com.
I'm gonna give you guys the floor on this deal. You guys participated in the best fishery in the state right now, Rufus Woods. So fire away.
If you want to get a whole bunch of some of the tastiest, fattest fish that you've ever put over your barbecue smoker or over your pie hole, then I would suggest you go to the Rufus Woods hole because it's a kick in the pants. Now, that's going to be there for a while. We only have Marine Area 10
through Monday.
And so if you got some time this weekend, obviously, if you're in our listening audience, this is a lot closer to home. You're going to have to sort through some sublegals to get your legal fish. They're there. But again, we preach this in the past and guys have listened, and I'm really grateful for the fact that folks are using bigger gear.
Yeah.
And so if, you know, and even you're going to get bit less because we were running, was it Thursday we were out there? Yeah. Thursday. Mm-hmm. And we were running bigger gear. We were running plugs but we were running bigger baits too. And, the baits were getting bit by a variety of stuff. You switched over to a spoon. I kept my hot plug out there, which my hot plug disappointed me just a little bit. It caught fish, but I was just thinking running it up in a water column like that, we were going to end up with another keeper on that thing. But, you know, it's a saltwater close-in opportunity. We're halfway through our impacts on sub-legal unclipped fish. So we're shutting her down. Won't be open on Tuesday. It's open on Monday in hopes that March 1st, when a lot of these sublegals have flushed out and a few larger fish hopefully have come back in, we'll make more efficient use of those impacts. Incidentally, that March 1st date is also the opening of Marine Area 5 CQ, which is going to be open March and April. So
yeah, it's going to be nice too. The weather's going to looks like it's going to be good. The water's going to be flat. So
this weekend's
Area
10,
it's your last crack for a little while. Get out there and try to get a fresh black mouth for the barbecue. But Rufus Woods, I think in the next couple weeks, not only is the trout fishing going to be amazing, but you're going to have an opportunity to start to catch some walleye. We actually hooked a walleye. We didn't land it, but I mean, you know, we had four rods fishing the boat, fished some of Austin's top spots, and the fish are there. They just weren't snappy yet. But as that water warms up a little bit, they're going to start to bite, and that walleye fishery over there can be phenomenal. But waterfowl for me.
Yeah, last couple
I've
weeks.
I've fished a bunch, four or five days here. So I'm back on the waterfowl. I'm going to go back up to Bellingham with Spencer probably tomorrow. We set up on snow geese yesterday. You know when your buddy calls you and he's like, I've been watching these snow geese for a week. We're gonna murder them. And I get up at 3 in the morning and drive all the way up there. And then I sat in a muddy layout blind until it got dark last night, Rob. And we watched those jerks. There were 3,000 jerks flying around in a field like 200 yards away from
laughing.
Us. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know you were sending me video clips, and you were in the layout blind, and you were sending me clips. The geese were right on the other side of the field, and they wouldn't come
just
across.
Right there.
Yeah.
No. But they'd been in the field we'd been in.
Yeah.
But we did. There were so many ducks buzzing around up there, so
yeah.
We're going to go back up there and shoot ducks
in
the base.
At least get even with the ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Back to the Rufus Woods deal. If you're going over there, Robbo made the statement quite aptly that yes, it's boat mandatory, really, if you want to be successful up there. And right now, because the Colville reservation's closed, you have two points of access. You either have Bridgeport down the south end, Bridgeport State Park, or you're going to drive up to Grand Coulee and stay up there. There's a nice little hotel right there, the Coulee Center Lodge. Great little rooms right there. I would suggest going over there and spending the night. You know, it amounts to about $50 a head over there, and there's a nice grocery store there. Heck, there's a Safeway right there. So there's no restaurants open right now, but all the rooms have barbecues. Okay.
Yeah.
And Austin had a Green Mountain Davy Crockett portable pellet grill. So I wouldn't really anticipate eating any of these fish over there. So I brought some backstrap over there, which, you know, Joey, you sliced just perfectly and seasoned up a little Montreal steak, a little this. Dude, that pellet grill, oh, I am so sold. He kept the temperature about, you know, 200 degrees for a while, just putting smoke on it and putting smoke on that fish too.
Yeah.
So we had one of these rainbows that was, you know, on the pellet grill smoked, and that was kind of the appetizer.
Yeah, we mowed that thing down fast.
Before the backstrap main course. And just if you think you can even get close to what a pellet grill does with your propane barbecue, I got news for you, man. I am so impressed with those things. And in the past I've messed around with chips and chunks on the barbecue, but it's not even close. Dude,
have you ever seen a pellet grill before, Nelly? Have you ever seen one? It sounds like this could be a new thing.
Oh, I'm getting one, dude. I'm sold. But I've never seen a portable one before either. So
yeah, yeah. We just got a text here from the 360. Would a kayak work over there in Rufus Woods? It'd be pretty tough. It's a river.
Well, here's the thing.
There can be a lot of current. So
Look, once the Colville tribe reopens,
then you're fine.
Then you'll have some better access to some better fishing areas. And then I even thought about, like, man, I could come over here with my kayak and do a day trip and paddle out there and put a couple of these fat pigs in my cooler.
For sure. Also, right now, you know, even though we've got some tough restrictions on the coast, the rivers are dropping in. I talked to Bill Meyer yesterday. He said everything was perfect and around the Forks area. The southern coast, those rivers they take a little bit longer to drop in, the hump and some of that stuff down there. But they'll be fishable here in the next couple of days. I mean, I'd get out and do some bank fishing or take the boat. Just use the boat for transportation and do some bank fishing out there. We had some questions on, you know, what do I use? It's all artificial right now. So spoons, pink worms, jigs under a float. If you're going to throw spoons, a 2/5 ounce spoon is great, either in silver plated or copper. River Fisher makes some great spoons, as well as BC Steel. The soft beads work great. The B&R Tackle soft beads.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff works great. Jigs are probably the best way to cover some water and be able to extend your drift a little bit. But, gosh, you can fly fish, swing spoons. Spoons are nice because you can cover a lot of water with them.
Sand shrimp. Eggs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Make sure to have some of that stuff with you too.
Yeah. If you want to go to
your local bait shop.
Yeah, if you want to go to jail, you go ahead and bring some bait with you. But
just a shameless raised baits plug right there. That's terrible.
Yeah, but
I thought he was talking about Rufus Woods.
Yeah. You know, sand shrimp probably would work over there in Rufus Woods.
Well, we took some of my coon shrimp over there, and we caught one on a coon shrimp plunking it off the back of the boat.
Yeah, for sure. So
embargo, Joe. What the bait supply still looks kind of tight coming into this season, this salmon season, as far as herring stuff, right?
Yeah, it does. Normally this time of the year, all of us guys who actually produce and put up our own bait, you know, Puget, Jerry's, raised bait, we would have a bunch of bait put up from late summer, early fall, and there just wasn't a lot of, there was all that little stuff. We didn't catch the greens and reds like we normally do. So nobody's sitting on a pile of red and green right now. We are waiting for the Canadian guys to see what they catch. So as soon as they catch fish, it'll be on a truck, hot footing it down here, hopefully. By our summer fishery, we should be okay. We'll be processing probably, hopefully, April, May. The springer season on the Columbia could be...
You better learn how to spin some tiny little baits. Learn how to spin something
or
different.
Or you better spin blues. Blues or the little stuff. There's some orange and yellows out there. I don't know. It could be tough. I'm still hopeful that we get some Canadian bait down here in the next couple weeks, a month, and then, you know... By the end of February, at least, you know, hopefully we have some bait.
Yeah, no doubt. And you.
Hey, if any of you listeners out there have any herring in your freezers, I will buy it back from you.
Right.
There we go.
It's a buyback program.
Raised Bait is offering a buyback program.
Well, just call it a health recall. make it mandatory that they just have to return every, you know, go through everybody's freezer. I can only imagine. I tell you what, this is the time of the year, though, that guys need to go through their freezer and evacuate, you know, all occupants before the season comes, because, you know, we're looking at more halibut days this year in the Straits. Okay. And before you know it, it's going to be shrimp and ling season too. So,
The other thing going on right now, Nelly, is the shellfish right now are just perfect. Middle of winter, we went and got some oysters a couple nights ago, cooked them on my new Kudu grill, open fire grill. Oh my goodness. Just crazy. I mean, if you want to grab some oysters, manila clams, anything like that this time of year, I know the coastal beaches are closed. But man, the oysters right now, they couldn't be better. We got them out at Minnerbrook Farms, out here kind of close to us on the Key Peninsula. But, I mean, that was the time of year. These stuff, they're firm, they're nice and clean. Pretty tasty.
I saw that on your Instagram. Oh. I was like, oh, that's mean.
Oh, we got some extra smalls. You know, I'll cook them with a little butter, a little like Mrs. Dash, and then throw some Parmesan on top, and just, they're almost like a spinoff from Oysters Rockefeller a little bit, and throw them on the barbecue, cook them up. Oh my goodness.
Your girls like oysters already?
One of them we're still working on one of them. The other one though, we had steamer clams last night, and she mowed them down. The littlest one.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so
she's
cool.
a little savage. The other one, you got to kind of, she doesn't trust me entirely yet, but for good reason. She's like, no, I'm not touching that. Cause she knows what's coming. It could be, who knows what. Yeah.
Join us next week. We're going to have a little walkthrough of the virtual walkthrough of the Seattle Boat Show. So it's kind of the boat show twice removed right there. You missed any of the show, of course, you can jump on MineArthWest.com, get the podcast on TheOutdoorLine.com or your iTunes podcast app. You can get us there, too. You can follow Joey during the week at Joey Pyburn, at Rob Ensley, The Outdoor Line, at The Outdoor Line, on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios, Joey Pyburn here in the Tulalip Roy Robinson studios, Rob Ensley coming at us from Gig Harbor, Washington. This is Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.